And we still have some more Friday night into Saturday morning open lines for you, so we will get to your calls in just a second on Coast to Coast AM. Next week, we go into March already. Wow. That's fast. I mean, it really is. And I talk a lot about it. It sounds like I'm the perennial time traveler this way, but it is really going by too fast. I mean, my gosh. You get into March, and then it's April, and you're in the summertime. It's unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the phones. Jim, truck driving in Florida. Welcome to the program, Jim. Thanks for hanging in there.
No problem, George. And first I wanted to say, after this election, I do expect you to be a 2020 candidate.
Maybe. You never know. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm a truck driver, and when I first started in 2008, I had already been listening to your show for about a year. So your show kind of opened me up to the concept of the paranormal and unnatural things.
Beautiful.
Besides the basic stuff that happened to me as a kid. Well, when I was truck driving in Arizona, out in a desolate area, I actually stopped at a truck stop, and I was checking my tires on the trailer, getting ready to leave. I was going to go and have some food, and I was just checking my tires real quick before I went inside. And all of a sudden, as I'm checking my tires, I noticed a smell. And I'm like, well, did I hit something with my tire or what? So all of a sudden, I hear somebody walking closer towards me. I look up, and there's this skinny, I would assume at the time of the kid, this is at nighttime, by the way, probably about midnight, local time in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And he was wearing a hoodie, and he came at me real quick. And I was able to stop him. I threw him against a trailer, and as I was squeezing harder, he started yelling, "Stop! Stop! Okay, no more! Don't hurt me!" And I could tell how small he was compared to me that I could have easily hurt him if I would have continued going.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing I want. I don't think going to jail, even though it was self defense. Who would believe somebody three times the size of this guy, defending from an attack? So I let go of him, and he started sniffing the air, and he's like, "Wow, you smell good." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Jeez. Yeah.
And when he was sniffing the air, his hoodie kind of lifted up, and I saw his eyes were glowing yellow.
Oh my gosh.
And I started talking, and I was like, "All right, man, you need to get out of here. You're homeless, whatever. I don't have any money. Leave me alone. There's no need to."
And you were really being nice to this guy, I gotta tell you.
Well, I did security and bodyguard work before I went to trucking.
Okay.
So, being afraid of somebody or something is something doesn't really, I don't become afraid of anything.
Yeah.
But yes, being nice and stuff, as a bouncer, I was attacked a lot, and it was just my job to cool down a situation. So I actually started talking to this guy because he was asking me, "Hey, I haven't fed in like 3 weeks." I'm like, "All right, fine. I'll go to Subway. There's a Subway and truck stop. I'll get you a sandwich." And he's like, no, I don't like that kind of food. I'll eat it, if you want to give me one. But I mean blood." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I'm a vampire." And I actually talked to him for about 30 minutes inside the truck stop. And he was telling me some of the rules that they have. And because I was listening to Coast for the last year, they actually got me interested in it. So I let him hang around inside the truck stop in public so he wouldn't attack me again. But he's actually telling me some of these rules.
Jeez.
That they actually have to abide by, and I was fascinated. But eventually I got tired of the smell, and I was like, I got to go. But it was a fascinating story of everything that he was telling me about.
When he attacked you the first time, what was he trying to do, bite you?
Yes, he was trying to get his arms around my head. And by that time, I already had one of his arms behind his back and my hand around his throat, and I threw him against the trailer. Because he was so skinny and light, I could easily pick him up. But when he came at me like a bear with his hands over his head trying to hug me.
Was he screaming?
No, he wasn't growling or screeching or anything like that. He was kind of grunting, because he was putting some effort into it.
Well, if you were packing, you could have pulled that on him, because you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really bizarre. But some of the rules he was telling me, because I was asking him, like, what are you doing here in Arizona? And he says, well, in Arizona, the largest population of vampires is going to be Arizona, New Mexico, and Southern California is where most of the vampire population. And I was like, well, why me? He's like, well, I could smell you. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, why can we don't go after that waitress when she gets off work? And he was like, well, we actually have a pact with the local Indians here out in Arizona. You have the Navajo and the Hopi. And he's like, we actually have pacts with them. We can't mess with residents. And since you're out of state, we're permitted to bite you. But as per our rules, we actually have to have your permission.
Now, if he were to take a bite out of you, I mean, he wants to draw blood, right?
Oh, yes. He was definitely willing to draw blood. He wasn't strong enough.
Unbelievable. And he's out there somewhere doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah. I asked him how old he was. He looked, it was kind of hard to tell because he looked like a homeless drug addict.
Okay. I've seen that.
But he said he looked like he was about 24, if I would have guessed. He said he was 78 years old.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, being a vampire doesn't age thing on you. And he's like, well, it's a mix between movies and what you hear. He says you can't take all of it, but you can take some of it. You know, we don't have superhuman strength. He says, but the age thing does kind of help some of us. The sun doesn't kill us, but it does annoy us. Silver doesn't kill us, but also it really does irritate us more than the sun does.
Did you believe him, or did you think he might have been whacked out?
I think it was kind of whacked out, but the eyes is what got me. Is I've never seen glowing eyes like that.
All right, so until you saw the eyes, you thought, this guy's a little wacky, and then bang.
Yeah, I thought he was just a little wacko, but, you know, listening to your show, because previously in that year, you had a vampire slayer come on. Stuff like this, and I was like, maybe this really is a vampire just trying to be nice. And I asked him, I was like, what about this waitress? And he says, well, there's two things. One, she's protected because she's a resident with our pact with the Indians, but also I can smell she has something wrong with her. And he was like, I smell you, and I want to know what's wrong with you. I says, well, there's nothing wrong with me. He's like, you don't have any diseases or STDs or nothing? I was like, no. He's like, well, that's it. He's like, that's why you smell so good.
Huh. Like, well,
stop smelling me.
Yeah, exactly. What a story. Hey, thanks, Jim.
No problem, George. Take care.
Wow. Let's go to Javi now, truck driving in California. Javi, welcome to the program.
Hey, Paul. How you doing tonight?
Good.
I'm only joking with you.
I know. That's why I didn't.
I'm trying to keep your new name going.
That's right. We've got a few.
I know. I got a quick story for you. Quick rundown. I've been driving trucks for about 15 years now here in California. And my route is normally I go to Fresno and back every night.
Mm-hmm.
And and when I was about 3 years old, my mother passed away, and I was raised by my aunt.
Oh, geez.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and as I was, and as I said, time started going by, I started getting older.
I'm going to ask you if you could get closer to your phone or pick it up or something.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but it's really popping with some horrible screeching
how about
sound.
Now?
No.
Let me adjust my mic a little bit. Better?
Well, we'll try. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when I was, like I said, my mother passed away when I was young, and growing up, I would be in the kitchen, and I'd see someone walking by in the living room, a female, or I'd be in the living room, and I'd see someone walking by in the kitchen, and it was just kind of weird, right? There was nobody home but me. And as you know, as time went by, you know, that happened to me a few times. And then when I started driving trucks, you know, I started, all these weird things started happening to me. About a year ago, I'd be driving, you know, we're always checking our mirrors, right?
Yeah.
And I check my passenger side mirror every so often, and I kind of sometimes would see like a reflection of a face in the mirror. And I would just kind of like look, and I would like look away really fast. It would freak me out. And about a year ago, I checked my passenger side mirror, and I kind of saw like a face, and I looked away, and then a few minutes went by, and I looked through my passenger side seat, and I saw a female sitting there just looking straight ahead, and that freaked the crap out of me out. So I didn't even want to turn and look at that passenger side mirror anymore at the seat. So I finally got the nerves, and I looked again, and there was nobody there. And that happened to me about three times. And then about a month ago, same thing happened. I checked my passenger side mirror, and I saw a reflection, and I looked away. And a few minutes went by, and I looked at my passenger seat, and again, I saw somebody sitting there just looking straight at the road.
That's got to be freaky.
Oh, man. So then I waited a few minutes, and I looked again, and I still saw that reflection of that person sitting there, and I finally got the nerve to say, hello? And I got no response, so I, like, kind of blinked, and I looked again, and she was gone.
Why are they, like, hanging around you? What's going on?
I have no idea. But, I mean, when I saw that person just sitting there on my passenger side seat, it freaked the hell
yeah.
out of me.
Oh, that is freaky, to be sure. Just sitting there. I had a truck driver story years ago of a guy who had fallen asleep, and he woke up to a hand. He saw a hand on a steering wheel pulling him back on the road. He was going over a cliff. That's amazing. But, man, I think that would be freaky, looking over to your right, and you see somebody just sitting there, not talking, and then they disappear. Alisa is in Oregon City, Oregon now. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, thank you, George.
Good to have you with us.
Okay. Been a while.
It has been.
I know. So I wanted to get your take on something.
Okay.
Okay. I'm 50 years old and have experienced deja vu maybe twice my entire life.
That's all?
Yeah, but the past 2 weeks, it's been happening an average of like 20 times a day where
whoa,
it ends up on my arms and I get chills from head to toe. And I don't know what that could possibly mean. I kind of ruled out precognitive dreams because I don't sleep enough. That is me I'm having.
And this feeling, of course, is you know what they're going to say or you've been there before.
Every moment, every movement is so surreal. Interruptions, commercials.
It's got to be driving you nuts now.
It is because I don't know who else to talk to about it. Who else can give me some sort of insight and feedback? Is it going to end or is it kind of not?
How did it start? What happened in your life to make it start again?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Are you just going on your daily routine and then it just started?
Mm-hmm. Everything from like things I would hear on the radio, books that I wanted to check out. I've been listening to Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I could have something.
So you're not under any particular stress or anything like that?
No, not that I can, you know, directly.
That's weird. 20 times a day?
Constantly, yeah.
Huh. Are you good at, like, remote viewing and things like that?
I haven't tried that too much. I've done, like, I'm into doing, like, pre-life, pre-birth planning in between lives right now. And I've done, like, past life regressions and not remote viewing.
See, what I think we're deja vu is, I think we're out of kilter, out of sync with another dimension that we're also in, doing much of the same things. And so when you're out of kilter, you've already done it, and you know you're doing it or about to. I think that's what it is. But in your particular case, 20 times a day, that's got to be driving you nuts. Let's go to Jerry in Las Vegas, Nevada, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
Oh, I got a pretty good story for you, George.
Okay.
This is back in about 1975. I'm 77, and I was living in Cleveland at the time. My uncle was living in Medina. So I was driving on 71 out to his house. I'm a diner, and I seen his hitchhiker on 71, so I stopped and picked him up and asked him where he's going. He said he was going to Bath, Ohio, which is a couple exits past Medina. But as I'm driving along, I felt real funny with this guy in the car, so I started to drive real fast. So the guy's going about 100 miles an hour, and I figured, well, if this guy's going to do something, we're both going to get it, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess he got kind of scared, and he said, well, let him out at the next exit. So I let him out, and I continued on to my uncle's house. And for some reason, I just kind of remembered the guy. And years after that, maybe five or six years after that, the guy is on the news, and they're putting him in prison. And I remembered the guy because that's the guy that I picked up hitchhiking.
Oh,
my. The guy was Jeffrey Dahmer.
No. Jeffrey Dahmer? Whoa!
Yes. So I guess that's the reason I felt kind of funny, you know?
What a story.
He just gave, you know, some kind of vibes out, you know?
That is creepy.
Yeah.
You never know.
You're right.
Somebody was watching you that day.
Yes, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, you must have freaked out when you saw that.
Well, I did, yeah, and I still remember that. You know, I remember the guy's face and everything.
Was he nice?
But no, he just sat there like he was a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you wanted to have sex with him or something, you know, you would have struck up a conversation like that. But, you know, since I wasn't into anything like that, I felt them vibes. I says, well, you know, it's just weird.
That was probably the smartest decision you ever made. Thanks, Jerry. You picked up Jeffrey Dahmer. Wow. Dahmer, by the way, convicted of a number of killings, serial killer, and was killed himself in prison, was murdered. We have time for another one? Yeah, of course we do. Let's go to Andy in Alabama. Andy, what's up?
George, how you doing?
Good, Andy. Thank you.
I finally got through to you. I tried to call last weekend and ended up, y'all said Andy from Alabama and somebody else started talking. Well, okay.
Another one. That's right.
Yeah. I got a spooky story for you.
Okay. 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. My dad grew up in rural Alabama, middle of nowhere. They lived in a 4-bedroom house, you know, perfect square shotgun style house.
Mm-hmm.
Door in the front, door in the back. Porch all the way around it. And they still go back to that house every weekend when they can. And they play dominoes. It's a family tradition.
I love it.
And summertime, they'll open that door, and they'll turn the attic fan on, and it pulls the air through, keeps it cool. So one night, they're sitting there playing dominoes in the hallway next to the front door, and something crashes into the front porch.
Clearly, you could hear that. Whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, they say it was like a shotgun going off almost.
Yeah.
My dad's first reaction was one of the cars had maybe run into the porch.
Yeah.
They scattered out the front door to see what had happened. There was cars. They parked cars in the front yard there, and they kind of staggered a little bit. My dad and my cousin got out the door. My dad he tripped coming out the door. Because he was going to get his gun out of his pocket.
Okay.
And, you know, safety first. And him and my dad are the only two people that seen it. But it was his exact words were, it didn't walk or run away, it floated away. In between the cars, kind of zigzagged, and it was gone in a second.
What did it look like, did he say?
It was glowing, and it was fluorescent blue-white. You know, if you
like an orb, like a huge orb.
Yeah, if you know it, like a body.
Yeah,
like a ghost.
But floating.
If you know anything about color temperature, the way he described it, I would say 6,500 Kelvin, which is an off blue white.
That's almost as pristine and bright as you can get. That's for sure. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with our tribute to a dear friend, Ed Grimsley, past Coast to Coast guest, an expert on night vision goggles and ufology. And welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. In a moment, a special tribute, talking about softly as I leave you, to Ed Grimsley, one of our past guests, but just an expert in night vision goggles and ufology. By the way, this weekend, Richard Serrett will be hosting on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday for you, so make sure you're part of the program. So earlier this week, the UFO community was saddened to hear about the loss of Ed Grimsley. Ed had been fighting diabetes. He had some heart issues. He would show up at events all over the country. I mean, wherever I spoke, there he was. And he was always a pleasant gentleman. Once we really got to know him, I mentioned that story earlier, that he kind of freaked us out because we didn't know who he was walking around with his paper bag. But he had night vision goggles, and that's what he did. He was an expert at looking at what he believes to be a war going on in space between different races of extraterrestrials, and he would see them with his night vision goggles. I had the pleasure of knowing Ed Grimsley, and he will surely be missed.
You know, over the years, you and I have run into each other at conferences all around the country. And, you know, I didn't know who you were, really, you know, other than you were Ed Grimsley, and there's a guy who had a bag full of binoculars. And
yeah, I was the bad guy.
Yeah, and, you know, and Tom and I would go out, and we'd have our lunches and dinners. We'd run into Ed Grimsley. You were at every conference. You were always there. You're devoted into this field. And, you know, so I started asking around, and I'm saying, you know, who is this guy? He's a nice guy, but what does he do? And then one night at a meet and greet, you stood up and you said, I've got these night vision goggles and I have been watching UFOs fighting in the skies. And I went to myself, whoa, I got to hear a little bit more about this guy. And the more we talked over the various conferences that we would meet at, the more I really was interested in seeing this. So finally, last year, we had an opportunity to run into each other at a conference, and you were holding one of your events on the top of a hotel, and somebody came down and said, Mr. Grimsley would like you to see what they're all looking at up here. And I said, all right, now's my time. Now, keep in mind, I've never seen a UFO ever in my life until that night. And then we went upstairs, and you had a couple night vision goggles in the third generation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you showed me what to look at in the night sky. And this for folks who look into the sky, you can see some stars, you know, especially if you live in a city. You'll see more if you live in the country. But I've got to tell you, when you look at the night sky with night vision goggles, you see more stars than you can ever imagine or count. And what Ed then did is something truly remarkable. He said, George, you got to look in this area. And so I did. And keep in mind, you've got these binoculars that are looking into the night sky, and everything is green, right? You've seen pictures of these. And all of a sudden, I start seeing some objects moving. Not satellites, because satellites go from one direction to the next. They don't change direction. You know, they don't zigzag. I saw an object zigzag, and then I saw another one zigzag. And Ed, you were as cool as anybody's ever been. You said, told you so. But people who were up there were absolutely taken back. What's going on up there, Ed?
Well, I believe that this activity has been going on probably since the Earth was built. Maybe they've been there for a long time. They may even be part of our creation or part of the tools that keeps us running. There's definitely got to be a good side and a bad side, so I don't know if it's good against evil. I don't know if it's God against the Satan or whatever, but there is definitely some flying against each other out there, and there's a numerous type of craft, and these are real. They're not something that gets made up and hung on a string and photographed. I mean, because these things are doing thousands of miles an hour across the sky.
And how high up do you think they are at? Because, you know, that was a big discussion that night. We're trying to figure out how high these objects were. What did you estimate at that time?
Well, I estimated that the one that I showed you with a laser that was flying along, and you asked, is it a satellite? And I said, no, because it keeps changing its speed and its course.
Right.
And I said, look, it's slowing up. Good, good. It's going to stop. And then you said, where'd it go? And
yeah.
I pointed the laser and said, there it is,
there
right
it is.
There. And you said, is that a star? And I said, no, it's faking to be a star. But watch it, keep an eye, and I marked two stars with the laser near it.
Yeah.
And I said, there it is, right down between that. And you remember this because it'll take off and leave, and when it does, then you're going to realize it and probably watch it go. But you had handed the glasses off to Tommy or somebody
yeah.
else, and by the time I looked at it again and it's checked, it started to leave, and I said, here, it's leaving. And you didn't get a glasses back in time to see the actual leaving of it. But when you did look, I marked the two stars for you again, and it was gone. And that activity, that happens all the time. There is all kinds of things out there that pull up and stop, or they'll start out from nowhere and start moving.
Are we thinking, though, what, 50 miles up, 100 miles up,
no,
200?
That would be out in space, that one. And I would say that from just experience of watching them, I'm going to guess it was about 200 miles.
200 miles. Now, what? I know some of these questions are speculative for you, but...
That's true, but you could stand on the freeway and watch cars go by, and you could say, how fast is that
one going? Yeah, absolutely.
How,
okay,
well,
so...
what kind is that one?
So up, you estimate...
You've got to use judgment.
Absolutely. How big do you think those two objects were that I was looking at?
Well, the objects that that you looked at, I believe, were Delta, but, you know, at that time, I had handed my glasses off. And then you saw and said, there it is, there it is. And when I got the glasses back, I could see the ghost-like disappearance of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that it resembled what I call deltas. It looked something like a Concorde-type jet with one fin stabilizer up there and can just haul thousands of miles an hour. And I believe that they was probably between 80 and 100 miles up. Because I think they function their best right at the edge of the atmosphere and space. And when you see one of those, if you see it on one side of the sky and follow it quickly, it'll zigzag and pass and maneuver and be gone in 5 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, I had never seen anything move that fast. And these weren't meteorites, by the way. I mean, this meteorites just go whoosh, and they're gone.
Yeah, and they light up and give you a good appearance.
These things went at a nice fast clip, and then they made a 90-degree turn, then they came back, then they stopped, then they went again. I don't know what they are, Ed, whether they're man-made or ETs or what, but I'm telling you, there was something going on up there. There's craft going on.
What they were was definitely your opportunity to realize that we're not alone.
No. Now, let's...
And whoever's got those is sharing that technology.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the technology that you use and explain that laser that you were holding up that you used to help point out where this little star, which became an object, was up there for us. You've got a laser that you take with you. What do you use that for and how?
I had been buying these cheap lasers for $8, $10 at gas stations and things that are red, and they will show up, but only if somebody's standing pretty close to you and they're hard to see with naked eye, but with the glasses you can see them better. And I've been buying those, and it's just a simple way of pointing out what you're looking at.
I'm kind of like watching the line, right?
Yeah, people can find it easier. You just follow the line, and up you go. Now, sometimes when we lose them or they walk away after a big meeting or something, I have like a friend, Bob and Kathy, that come over from Santa Rosa, and they watch all the time. Well, he brings a small halogen flashlight, and as long as your beam is kind of picking up and going out there with a little flashlight, it helps. But now I've got green lasers, and Radio Shack has one. I don't know, should they pay us extra for this advertising?
Yeah, they should, for you anyway, at least.
Yeah, they could send me some free lasers. It'd be fine. And then on the computer, a friend of mine ordered some extras and got me some, and they're like $17, and they're 30 amp or 30 whatever they are, and there's some 50s. So now I'm taking them and attaching them to each one of the glasses.
Ah, okay.
String, and then, you know, and then hopefully they don't keep disappearing after people come, you know.
Tell me about the third generation glasses, and there's a fourth generation coming out. Will that make a big difference?
Well, the fourth generation from my friend Michael that's in San Francisco that has the night vision company, and I trust a lot of his judgment because he really has knowledge and has been helping me out a lot. He says that in theory, there's not really a fourth generation. It's kind of a hyped up third generation or enhanced. And there are some other things, but they're not available yet to the public. And the leery thing about the whole deal is that we can only get certain grade night vision in this country. You can't ship it out of that country.
I didn't know that.
And they will give you 7 years in federal prison for it. And I have massive people want me to go to other countries and put on a Skywatch there, but the government will not let me exit with these glasses to show them.
Well, these are military grade, right?
Yeah, they're military grade, but still the technology is like law enforcement offices and stuff use it. And our citizens are able to get them.
When we see movies of soldiers or police officers going into a house totally dark, but you can see the green of their vision, right? You can see like how the soldier, because you see the tip of his rifle, for example, is gone. Is that the kind of goggles we're talking about, the kind of binoculars?
Very similar. Okay. You see it in Iraq a lot. The guy's there and has his glasses up on his helmet, or he's holding them in his hand and that. They're called PVS-7s. Military industrial grade.
How do they work, Ed?
Well, basically, they're focusing and illuminating the light, and they used to call them a starlight scope, and now it's changed. And it's not basically infrared. It's a process of collecting the light at different ranges and do that. Some night, I'd like to get Michael, who owns his company, and give him 15 minutes on your show, and I'm going to tell you, he could enlighten the world. This guy's a genius, you know.
Enlighten the world? That wasn't a pun, was it?
Well, let me put it this way. The government is now making attempts. I don't know what it's going to be like after Obama, because there was AB, and then there's Obama. But I'm gonna say that if the government's secret programs and stuff had their way, they want to keep the citizens in the dark.
Literally.
And these glasses puts the light on the darkness.
Oh no, I'm a believer in this. You know, I'm the not the skeptic, but I go into these things, as you know, Ed, cautiously. I want the answers. I want the truth. I have never seen UFOs. I've talked about that on this program. And sure enough, when I was out there with you up on that roof, I saw two things I cannot explain. And to me, then, that's the definition of a UFO.
Well, actually, you saw three, because that one that flew along, speeded up, slowed up, stopped, and then took off and left. That was your first one, and that was a different type vehicle. The other two were different UFOs.
Ah.
And so you've got
I thought it was two. The second one I thought was the same. So you're saying I had three that I was looking at.
Yeah, the other two that you saw was when you were holding the glasses on your own and I was trying to show everybody stuff.
Right.
And the first one that I showed you, I was telling you, this is how you look, and I go, whoa, there's one right now. And I pointed the laser, you followed up, looked at it, and was tracking it, and then it started to slow up, and then it stopped. And you said, where did it go?
Yeah.
That was your first one. And then you saw two more after that that were the Delta type.
What's so remarkable about this, Ed, is that when you look at these, when you look at the sky through these, they're everywhere. I mean, it's not like you got to sit there for 10 years and maybe you'll see one. I mean, they're there almost every time you go out and look.
Well, I know George Knapp, whatever. He, at the one conference you were there, you kind of stood up and took my side. But we had said, or Bob Oliver from the radio station Quantum Leap in Monterey, he's been out with me a lot, and he's getting pretty sharp at finding them. And he every time I'd go out, I would find some for somebody. And the only thing it wouldn't be is if it was clouded over or rainy or the fog came in or that kind of thing.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.